passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
And it is Monday, and we can't wait to get going here. Let's start with some news that you may not have heard about, but it will probably sound pretty familiar. The AP poll is out. Last week it was the coaches, but this is the one that most people gravitate toward. And guess who's on top? Those Dogs, looking for a three-peat. Georgia number one, they got 60 first-place votes. These are broadcasters, writers, people that actually know what they're doing. Michigan came in second. Ohio State. And what about Bama at number four? It's the lowest preseason ranking since 09. Are we going to be saying things like that in the future? Or will Nick Saban surprise everyone and win another national championship? LSU 5, SC 6, Penn State, Florida State. You can read it. Clemson, Washington, Texas and Tennessee. Notre Dame at 13, Utah. We go all the way down to Oklahoma at number 20. Who? North Carolina, that's South Carolina's first opponent. Ole Miss is at 22. A&M, 23. Tulane at 24. Ole Miss, so we'll see them early in the season. And Iowa. Listen, we knew Georgia would be number one. The only debate is really would Alabama be third, which they were in the coaches' poll, or fourth? And LSU at fifth, setting up a big-time game against Florida State early, actually on Sunday night of Labor Day weekend. So we'll get into that in great detail later on. But Kirby Smart is not happy. What did you expect? We got a long way to go, he said, after the first scrimmage. You ever heard a coach happy after the first scrimmage?
No.
Nick Saban was not happy either. The difference is Kirby Smart has three quarterbacks he could start. Does Nick Saban have any quarterbacks he feels comfortable starting?
We've had 2 days in pads and one scrimmage. So we got some guys that play pretty physical. We got some guys that need to get more physical. But, you know, I kind of like what Pete Rose said the other night. Sparky Anderson, he said, was a great manager. And he asked him one time, what's the key to handling players? He says, well, you got to know when to kick them in the ass. You got to know when to pat them on the ass. And you got to know when not to say anything. So we're trying to figure that out. But I think I've been kicking them in the ass a little bit more than I've been patting them on the ass. So we'll just keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I don't know about courting Pete Rose, who was banned from baseball at a school that just fired its baseball coach for betting on baseball. Meanwhile, Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, on the lack of minorities head coaches. He said it's a system that needs to be fixed.
Coach Nix has been here. We've been fortunate to keep him here. He's had a lot of opportunities to leave. Enjoyed working with him. He's done a great job. And then today you saw a whole nother level out of him, of his intensity in meetings last night, pregame meal with the players, handling depth charts, doing everything. I was inspired by listening to him this morning, talk to the team. So it was really cool to step back, be able to see that. And, you know, I just hope coaches like Coach Nix in this profession, black coaches that, you know, don't get opportunities, start getting opportunities, because it is ridiculous. When we're talking about two major conferences right here in this area, and when whatever it is, 80% of our players are minority, but we got all white coaches. It's really a system that needs to be fixed.
Meanwhile, when we were going off the air for the weekend, Graham Mertz was named as the starter by Billy Napier. This was expected. Graham Mertz, who had 26 interceptions in three seasons at Wisconsin. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Jim Harbaugh, you've seen this over on the news channels about plea bargains not coming to fruition, but what about in college athletics? The NCAA deal with Jim Harbaugh has been kicked to the curb. And we begin with Alabama's ranking. Alex Scarborough from ESPN covering that. We'll get into some of the other situations with Alabama. But, Alex, thank you for joining us. Number four, you got to dig deep into the file to find a lower ranking back to 2009. It's still number four, though, considering Alabama finished number five last year. Does this say anything, or was this fairly expected? Good afternoon.
You know, good afternoon. It feels about right. I mean, it feels like that's where they should be. They don't have the – they have probably the highest number of question marks in that group of four teams, and it starts with the quarterback. But, I mean, Paul, it's not just the quarterback. It's who's catching passes at receiver. Nick's talking about it over the weekend. There's still too many drops. What's the offensive line going to look? What's the defense going to look? Kevin Steele's back, but, you know, can they get back to what they were before? How do you not just overtake Georgia in your conference, but how do you bounce back from losing to LSU when Brian Kelly beat you in his first year at the program? I mean, Alabama's got a lot to work on, and that's why going all the way back to 09 almost feels appropriate, because it feels like Alabama's in a little bit of a transition. I hesitate to say it's anything assembling a rebuild, because they're loaded with talent top to bottom, but they're in a period of transition about what they want to be. Do they want to be a quarterback-dependent team that they've been the last few years, whether it's with Bryce Young, Mac Jones, Tua, Jalen? I mean, they've been so centered around the quarterback that they've gotten away a little bit from the essence of what they were starting in 09, which was a complete football team where if the quarterback was just okay, whether it was Greg McElroy or Jake Coker, whoever you want to pick out of that group, if they were just okay, that was fine. Now, the last few years, it hasn't been the case. So can they elevate the program back to where it was? Can they be a more complete football team? If they do all those things, hey, being in the top four means you're in, you know, playoff contention. And I think that would be a win for a program right now that I go back to. Man, the number of question marks right now ending the season is as high as I can remember it's been. It's been since I've been covering the program for over a decade now.
And, Alex, it starts at the quarterback position. I was hoping to learn something, as everyone was, over the weekend. I haven't really heard anything from anyone who claims to know or thinks they know, or know someone who thinks they know or maybe does know, to indicate that much was determined on Saturday. I realize you got to dig pretty deep into the game of guessing here, but what do you think we know today that we didn't know before this scrimmage about the QB situation?
Not enough, Paul. Not enough to make any kind of decision, because you talk to people who know this program well, and they'll give you three different answers on three different quarterbacks. They'll tell you that logic dictates that Tyler Buchner should be the guy. You know, he has the most history with Tommy Rees, the new offense coordinator, came over from Notre Dame as well. He's an experienced guy. He was the starter there for a time at Notre Dame. That should mean something. But he hasn't really ascended in any kind of way. You get a group of people who tell you it's Jalen Milroe's job to lose. But do you trust Jalen Milroe with the football? Because he is prone to inaccuracies and bad decisions from what we've seen the last few years with him. And then there's that contingent that's almost like, you know, the too hot, too cold, just enough. That's what the Ty Simpson group seems to be like. Well, Ty's not this and he's not that, but he's the best of both worlds. And if you're having that level of conversation about three different quarterbacks, and we're sitting, what, 2-3 weeks from the start of the season, you have no quarterback right now. So until one guy has separated themselves, or even just two, we're still in a holding pattern. And that's not necessarily the place you want to be. But I will go back to what I said earlier. If Alabama wants to be less quarterback dependent, and I know that's what they want to do from conversations with people in that program, if that's where they want to be, I don't think they're necessarily in the building worried about that. I think it's more so us on the outside clamoring for who's going to be the starting quarterback. Because I think their biggest issue right now is, how do we develop players at receiver? Is our offensive line as improved as we think it's going to be? Can those running backs carry the load the way that we think they can? If all those are answered, maybe the quarterback is secondary. But as of right now, I don't think we have enough answers at the quarterback position, let alone some of the other places.
And Alex, we'll ask the questions now. We obviously know the answers will come in a few weeks, but, or maybe they won't. But it seems like Nick Saban gambled a little bit by rolling the dice on who he had. And then when he realized after spring he didn't have it, at least for now, he went into the portal, where some people believe, had he been more aggressive in the portal after the season, he could have landed one of those guys that went to maybe like Kentucky or somewhere else. Or we know he tried to land May from North Carolina and Van Dyke from Miami, and he struck out. But it just seems like, I don't know if you agree or not, whether he may have waited too long.
I think there is some of that. I think it's still Nick trying to figure out where he wants to be in the portal, whether it's let's supplement the guys who have left and let the guys who aren't a fit in this program leave through the bright, flashing red door, or does he want to be a more active participant in the portal? I think he's still, in a sense, trying to figure that out. And I think with the quarterback position, there's a couple of things going on. One, I do think he underestimated or overestimated the talent of the quarterback room, and thinking that one of those guys, whether it was Jalen Miller or Ty Simpson, would separate themselves, and they didn't. So obviously had to go in the portal. But I think Nick's philosophy for a while has been, if there's not a guy who's a clear starter, day one, no doubt, starter can be an all-conference type guy, I don't really need to go get him in the portal. And I think that was also the thought process with the quarterback, that when Drake May did not become available, and I'll use that terminology for a reason, when he did not become available, did not enter the portal, and therefore Alabama did not have a chance to get him, who were they going to go get? The Leary thing seemed like it was signed, sealed, and delivered. Hartman going to Notre Dame, signed, sealed, and delivered. If there wasn't a guy who they thought was unquestionably better than who they had in the quarterback room, they weren't going to go get him. And I think in some respects, there wasn't really that slam dunk guy out there. So I know I'm splitting hairs and saying two things can be happening at once, but I do think it was Nick looking at the quarterback market and saying it's not a slam dunk, while also looking at his own group of quarterbacks and thinking slash hoping one of them would separate themselves, which they obviously did not.
We're talking to Alex Scarbo. Outside of the quarterback situation, and I know that's a big let's move on to another position. Is there another part of this program that concerns people close to the program in relation to the upcoming season, or is all the obsessing over the QB?
It's the receivers. I think most of the obsessing is going to be over the quarterback, and with a good reason. But the receivers have been a problem for a while now, and Bryce Young, God bless him, running around and making magic out of nothing the last few years, he kind of obscured some of the poor play at that position. They did not have a guy who could create separation consistently, let alone guys who sometimes could catch the ball consistently. Go all the way back to that national championship against Georgia a couple years ago, where Jameson Williams goes down, and he's throwing balls that are catchable that are dropped, and that just continued. And they haven't had guys develop at that position the way they got used to with that core group, where they, the rideouts is what they called them, with Jalen Waddle and Henry Ruggs and Devontae Smith. I mean, they had a core group there who were all top-notch players, and they just didn't develop the guys behind them. And we're sitting here in mid-August, and Nick's talking about after a scrimmage, there are still too many drops. You have solid guys like Jermaine Burton, Ja'Cory Brooks, but you don't have guys who can go out there and beat somebody, or at least we don't think that yet. If you don't get separation, if you don't get guys to develop into all-conference-type guys at that position, I don't care who the quarterback's going to be, because even when Bryce Young was back there, they didn't get good play. If they have something less than him, I think they're worried about what the offense looks like, in particular the passing game. And that's why I go back to, do they go back to just more ground and pound to cover up for those mistakes? The hope is that one of those guys steps up, whether it's Isaiah Bond, Ja'Cory Brooks, whoever you want to pick out of that hat. But they need somebody to step up at that position, because that's a dire thing for them.
Alex Scarbo, a sobering report about the number four team in the country, one that has won six national championships under Nick Saban. Alex, many thanks. Appreciate it very much. We'll dig deeper into the new AP poll, which has LSU at the five position. We'll talk to a number of other people here as well, and your phone calls this afternoon.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, you know, it's close to the season when the back-to-school week begins here on our show. And what does that mean for those of you who are new? It means we go to the campuses and talk to young reporters who are trying to make a name for themselves. And Owen Warden from Georgia, Andrew Wolf from Vanderbilt will join us today. We'll cover all the schools in the SEC, the ones that are currently and not the ones who want to get in. Some former students as well, Del Torre, talking about the Gators, and Matt Stinchcomb, who was a student, well, about 40 years ago. Yeah. And we go to the phones right now and check in with John in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm looking forward to football. I think we're getting there, Paul.
I hope so. Otherwise, we've been misled by the calendar.
I know. Well, let's have a week of civility and good manners, and let's critique the coaches and teams, and less criticism of the callers. I think it'll be a better week. But on the Harbaugh matter, I think the NCAA has got a bloodlust toward Harbaugh. I mean, they leaked the original agreement. They leaked when it didn't go through. And then they broke the bylaws by making a public statement that involves more than just a cheeseburger. I think Tom Mars is going to eat them for lunch.
Yeah, I think so, too. What the NCAA has done, which I think is almost impossible to do, is they've turned Jim Harbaugh into a sympathetic figure here in America. And I think he's being mistreated and really not being shot straight. But then you have to ask the question, who is the NCAA? I mean, is there someone behind that curtain at the moment? It's hard to find anyone with any credibility in that organization.
Yeah, it's crazy. And on the alignment real quickly, they talked about Fox putting some money into the deal for the Washington and Oregon. And by the way, I want to just tangent for a second. Oregon and Washington are both credited with the AAU as far as universities and their top research universities as well. So they're not chum, so to speak. But Fox putting in money, I thought, was the normal thing to do, Paul, because, you know, a year ago when Washington and Oregon wanted to get in, they did a due diligence on those two teams, and it would seem that either SEC or Big Ten, I mean, they did their big agreements with the idea of Texas and Oklahoma coming on board, or with respect to Big Ten, USC and UCLA coming on board. So it would seem that to bring in Washington and Oregon, you had to see what kind of money you get from Fox. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think they're both good schools. They're both better than Maryland, Rutgers.
No kidding.
and probably UCLA. But what they don't do, in my estimation, and I'm looking at it from a big picture, they don't really move the needle dramatically. I realize they're respected programs, but when you bring in two new schools, you're diminishing everything that you do in many ways, unless they're Oklahoma and Texas or USC or something like that. Hey, thank you for the call. Dwayne is in Louisiana. Where are you, Dwayne?
I'm home. I just came home Friday. Last Friday, I made it in. Out there in the Gulf of Mexico. Out the Gulf of Mexico. Been heat. All that sun and all that heat out there. You know what I'm saying?
Welcome back.
Got no shade out there. Far, you know, I had no shade out there to hide behind. It's nothing but sun. Huh?
Was that a question?
No shade. No, I said nothing but sun out there.
So how hot does it get out there on the rig, Dwayne?
It get hotter than you.
Yeah, that's funny.
It get hotter than on land. If it's 100 on land, it's about at least about 118 and 115 out there.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's almost 100 where we are right now.
It's nothing but iron.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah, but you know you're working around nothing but iron. All that is iron out there.
Iron, yeah, okay.
Some rigs, Hey, why you ain't said nothing about Steve Spurrier? When he talking about Georgia's got a weak schedule, you know, he said that too. Why you ain't post that
up? Well, I mean, everybody, Dwayne, that everybody knows they have a weak schedule.
See Spurs, I'm going after them. But look at this, Paul Feinbaum. I want to ask you a question. If LSU beat Florida State, the number 8 team in the country, and the number 5 team, all right, and LSU the number 5, if we beat Florida State, that go to number 1, huh?
No, not quite.
So why not? But. Why not?
Because,
tell me why not. That's
absurd, Dwayne. I mean, you got to do more than just.
Y'all ain't playing nobody.
That's stupid. Yep. I mean, Dwayne. I mean, you've been out in the sun too long.
Yeah, but nobody playing nobody. The rankings are not about what you did last week.
And remember something, Dwayne. The rankings don't matter anymore. We got the committee.
Yeah, but I think now listen to me.
If LSU beats Florida State, and then they beat Mississippi State, they beat Alabama. Yeah, then we're talking serious.
Oh, no, we ain't talking about that. No, the poll come way out before Alabama.
Hold your horses. You know, where did I read this over the weekend that it might have been Connor O'Gara, I can't remember who it was, who predicted LSU would have 2 losses by the end of September.
Oh, that's supposed to be Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
Yeah, you got Mississippi State 2-3 weeks into the season on the road.
Man, it's not that man. That man, you know, that man, he's been in the sun too long. You believe that man?
I read it somewhere that LSU could easily lose 2 games, either Florida State, at Mississippi State, at Ole Miss. I mean, that is a brutal opening schedule. At Missouri, you could lose 4 games.
Man, we ain't gonna lose no game, man. I don't know where you coming from, man. I know what you've been smoking on, Paul Feinbaum. I know what boat you've been on. You know what I'm saying? You act like you've been in the sun all year. I know what you've been watching. Hey, I don't know what you've been doing, Paul Feinbaum. But we got some down there in Baton Rouge, baby. We got some cooking down there, and it's mixed up down there like a gumbo pot. And we ready now. Yeah. If you've been watching, if you've been keeping tabs, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, you should be following up on LSU and reading the reports on LSU.
I think LSU is definitely my pick, Dwayne. LSU is my pick.
A lot of people got LSU.
Dwayne, LSU is my pick to finish second in the SEC West.
Hey, you better hope Alabama beat Texas the first week. The second week. You better get the quarterback straight down there in Alabama against Texas. And Texas coming in there.
Thank you, Dwayne. We'll see you in a minute. We'll take a break. A lot to do on our program on a Monday afternoon. You can tell the season is around the corner.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Let's continue more phone calls here before more guests start showing up. Mickey is up next in California. Hello, Mickey.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey there.
I had two questions and a comment, if that's okay with you. My first question is, do you agree with the AP polling that has Alabama at four, and LSU at five, considering that LSU has a returning starting quarterback and Alabama is still in limbo? And because I have them ahead of Alabama, LSU. And do you think that Florida State is ranked too high? As in,
Mickey, I do think Florida State is too high. I think they've got a really good quarterback.
I don't even have Florida State in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be in the top 10 after the first weekend. Alabama is a little tougher to argue. I feel like Alabama is about right. The thing about Alabama is that so much depends on that first big game against Texas. And,
yes,
and
exactly.
They're
saying on Sporting News online, and I forget who else I read there, that now it seems to be Texas' starting quarterback is beginning to look like they're going to have the freshman Archie Manning. So it's like one of those things also. That's something to watch for. But, yeah, like I mentioned, I have Washington ahead of Florida State in the top 10.
Well, Mickey, the first poll is very difficult to figure out. And I don't think you can be wrong where you go because there's so much subjectivity. Hey, thank you for your phone call. Jay is in Mobile, Alabama. I bet he disagrees with our previous caller.
That's right. Roll Tide, Paul. How's it going today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I hope you had a good weekend.
Thank you.
I know I've said it before, but you got a great staff, Paul. Anyway, Paul, I'm glad we ranked number four.
Why is that?
That gives Nick some rat poison.
You think that matters right now?
Every little thing to give him an edge.
So you think he's going to be screaming at his team that they disrespect you? You're number four in the country. I don't know if that works.
Oh yeah. We're gonna run the ball, Paul. Bama's gonna be fine. We're gonna run the ball and we're gonna run it down teams' throats. Okay. We're probably gonna run the ball 60% of the time.
Okay.
And as far as our quarterback
and
situation,
if you get down to Texas or LSU or Ole Miss by 10 points, will that get you back in the game?
I don't think we're gonna get down.
Okay.
And as far as our quarterbacks, we got three quarterbacks you can start for any team in the country.
Jay, that is patently an absurd statement, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Come on now, Paul.
Well, let me just give you one bit, bit of the, let me give you one started? Let me give you one bit of evidence to what I just got through saying, okay?
Okay, come on.
Tyler Buckner got beat out at Notre Dame, so he could not start at Notre Dame. So you want to try another school that he could start at? How about this? Are you willing to play a game to me to back up what you just got through saying? Okay.
Hold on now, Paul.
No.
He won that
You listen to me. I'm asking the questions here. Answer my question. Give me of the three Alabama quarterbacks. Hold on. Listen, both of us can't talk at the same time. Answer me this. Who is the best quarterback on Alabama's roster right now? Jalen Milroe. Okay. You're probably right. Could Jalen Milroe start at Arkansas instead of K.J. Jefferson?
No. KJ's
just got through telling
good.
Me that all three here. Of those guys could start at every team in the country, so now you're already backing down?
Oh, come on now, Paul.
Am I wrong, Randy?
No.
Okay. Jalen Milroe. Well, Milroe, could he start?
You got me.
Could he start at LSU instead of Daniels? Yes or no?
He got me on that one, too.
Okay, well, I also got you here. Thanks for the call. We'll take a short break. You're 0 for 2. Craziest call of the day. Even crazier than Dwayne. Repeat again. Alabama's got three quarterbacks that could start for any team in the country. I gave you three examples, and you whiffed on all three. Nothing like Bama enthusiasm on a hot August day. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Goose is up next in L.A. Hello, Goose.
Hey, Paul. I just want to say, man, you got my blood pressure up sitting here talking about LSU could lose 2 to 4 games in the month of September. Are you serious?
No, I'm really not serious.
Definitely not. Okay. Because I got them winning the West. I got I'll tell you what, I'm more worried about Texas A&M than I am Alabama. I got Texas losing, or I got Alabama losing to Texas and LSU. Now, how big of a threat do you think Texas A&M is this year to win the West?
I think they're a threat. I like A&M very much, but I still think it's the Alabama-LSU game will determine that spot.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Okay, and by the way, I was quoting Connor O'Gara correctly. He said what did he say again, Danny? Yeah, he wrote a column over the weekend, offering 25 bold predictions, and one of them, this is Connor now with Saturday Down South, that LSU will lose twice in September. So I was just quoting him. I do not believe that, by the way. Shannon is in Georgia. Hello, Shannon.
Hey, Big Paul, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Paul, did I hear your opening guest say that Alabama has had a hard time developing wide receivers?
That's what he said.
Yeah, and I think he referenced the Metchie and Williamson going down and then having nobody to throw the ball to after that. Said that Bryce Young was throwing catchable balls, but there was nobody to catch them. That's what I heard.
That is exactly what he said.
Paul, I'm looking here at sportsreference.com, and it says here that that Jameson Williams only played 1 year at Alabama, that he was 19 and 20 seasons. He was at Ohio State and then transferred to Alabama for his junior year. Is that right?
That is correct.
So it's safe to say that of the two receivers that went down for Alabama, that one of them was developed by Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think the other one was Metchie, wasn't he?
John Metchie, yeah. Paul, it seems like there's been some callers that have called in and said that there was a talent development problem at Alabama. You know, you look back at last season, the best running back came in from Georgia Tech. You know, the best receiver they had supposedly going into the season was a Georgia transfer. I'm just curious if you were surprised to hear him talk about player evaluation and development issues at Alabama.
Yeah, I think that was interesting. And, you know, I think what happened at Alabama, Shannon, was that run of wide receivers over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, he mentioned Ruggs and Judy and Devontae Smith and Waddle. I mean, and then Metchie. I mean, it was an endless stream. And And then they missed on one or two, and one or two, I think departed. And I think that's kind of what happened everywhere at Alabama. Then the quarterback situation, I don't think it's over yet, because you have you've got a five-star redshirt freshman, you've got another quarterback or two coming in. But if Jalen Milroe is their best option, then a lot of people are going to be very nervous.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting to hear it coming from someone other than just a fan base, that someone in the sports media world was actually echoing the same sentiment that a lot of us have expressed for a long time.
Well, there are some reporters in Alabama that are like Scarborough. I mean, I would say of the people that cover Alabama, that might have been the most sobering report we have heard. Now, too, there are some guys there, and obviously this comes with the territory at every school, where they pretty much echo whatever the school tells them.
Has there been a change in the wide receiver coaching position in Alabama? They bring somebody new in, develop these guys?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I mean, there's been obviously you had that long stream of. Yeah, you had coordinator change this year with Tommy Rees, but I don't think the wide receiver. It's a fair point though, Shannon. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check out Doug in Tulsa up next. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Before I get into my main point, I want to talk about a couple of previous callers that called in earlier. One is John from Louisville. He kind of got beat up last week. A few callers said that they give him that he gives them the creeps or
the skin crawl. Skin yeah, crawl, a couple. I think a few people said he makes their skin crawl.
Now, to John's defense, just because when he calls in, he doesn't sound like Larry the Cable Guy, like half of us rednecks
like Larry.
When we call in. Just because he doesn't sound like Larry the Cable Guy doesn't mean that he, should give you the creeps, all right? Second thing, Paul, is we all know Dwayne is a big LSU fan, but he really needs to stay away from the LSD. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that goes for everyone.
Well, that's true. It is August. Now, the reason why I called is this story is not being talked about enough, and it should be. The one school that gets in trouble with the IRS over their NIL deal, the IRS shuts it down, is the same school that literally has ATM on their helmets, with their greatest quarterback always flashing the money signs. Texas A&M, the IRS shuts down their program, their NIL program. Do we know why? Do we have any information on this?
Well, we asked Billy Lucci that question the other day, and I'm interpreting his answer, but I don't think he thought it was the end of the world, that there was some accounting issues, that it will be rectified.
Interesting. One more thing about NIL, and by the way, I'm for players getting paid. I mean, this is we're a capitalist society. Let's let 18-year-olds make money. So I'm not against the NIL, but I also find this interesting. Missouri has a kid that's going to be a senior in high school. His name is Williams Winery, and he's the number one rated edge defensive end in the nation. And some places have him the number one defensive player in the country. Alabama wanted him. Georgia wanted him. And he's about to make his decision here today at 3:30. And it's between Missouri and OU. And I think he's going to go to Missouri at least for a little bit. And I'm going to tell you why. Missouri state legislator passed a law that says if you're an in-state recruit, you can get paid NIL.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as you commit to the school.
Yeah, that is you remember, Doug, as soon as that happened, everybody, all the other coaches were up in arms. So, very good point, though. Andy is in North Carolina. Hello, Andy.
Yeah, this is me.
Well, good. You're on the air.
Yeah. I'm noticing on your show that y'all you and several other people mentioned real strongly, y'all think that if and when Saban does retire, that I heard you mention you thought maybe Sweeney will go and coach at Alabama.
No. I've never said that, Andy. I don't believe that at all.
I thought it was you were mentioned on it, but do you think there's a possibility of that,
Andy, I do not. I don't think Dabo Sweeney really wants that job. I think he prefers staying where he is.
Yeah, that's why I was saying. There's some other people I heard say that too. If I was wrong with you on that, I apologize.
That's okay.
But just talking about the Florida State and Clemson going to ACC, are they a lot of big fact into that you know of?
Well, Andy, the biggest problem for Clemson or anyone else joining the SEC is getting out of where they are. It would be a $150 million proposition, and I don't know anyone who wants to pay that, and they're not really even be sure of the path. Thanks for the call. Owen Warden covers the Dogs for the school paper. We'll talk to Owen right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.